Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the Outdoor Adventure Series podcast. This is your host, Howard Fox. The Outdoor Adventure Series celebrates individuals and families, businesses and organizations that seek out and promote the exploration and enjoyment of the great outdoors. Our guest today is David Young. David is a Colorado-based freelance writer specializing in outdoor adventure, public relations, and the production of creative custom content. He's also an avid skier, fly fisherman, mountain biker, golfer, and what is near and dear to my heart, he's a lover of fine whiskey. We're going to talk about that. David, it is a pleasure to have you join me on the Outdoor Adventure Series podcast.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Fantastic. And for our listeners, in my usual spirit of full disclosure, I have gotten to know David and learning more about him and his work through our mutual membership to the Outdoor Writers Association of America. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that. But David, first off, why don't you share a little bit about your background with our audience?
Yeah. So my background is in journalism, and I started out as a reporter. So spent more than a decade in daily newspapers, writing a little bit of everything from sports to government to, at one point, I was even a beer, bikes, and bands reporter, if you can believe it, kind of doing a little bit of everything. So that's kind of where I cut my teeth writing, and I loved it, really enjoyed it. But, you know, the newspaper industry over the years has kind of, you know, gone south a little bit, and it's become difficult and a lot of closures. So I migrated into public relations, as many journalists have done over the years. So I went into PR, and I did PR for local government, as well as some private PR with some outdoor companies over the years, and really enjoyed that. But I missed the writing aspect. You know, doing PR is a lot of fun, but it's not the same as writing. So I eventually migrated back to writing and started doing, just opened up my own freelance writing company, David Young Communications, and have been doing that. And that's been going really fantastic. And I've been able to kind of marry my love of outdoors with my writing skills. So I try to focus on things that I would like to read and things that I also like to do. So a lot of that involves, like you mentioned, you know, backpacking, hiking, biking, fishing, skiing, anything outdoors. You know, here in Colorado, we're fortunate that we have a little bit of everything. So on any given day, I love to go outside and just kind of stay moving. And if I can write about it, all the better.
Fantastic. And, you know, as I was listening to you, when you said, you know, about the journalism and and working for newspapers and, you know, the bands, and I know in some of the notes from your website, as I was doing my research, you did some writing or reporting for the Denver Broncos. And I'm thinking, this guy's got what a life. And of course, you're in Colorado, which, you know, I used to write my book reports when I was in elementary school about Colorado. I don't know why I did it, but I did it. And I remember getting letters and a whole bunch of travel, outdoor related literature from the state of Colorado. And so it's definitely has a place in my heart. And it's just a short drive from Nevada, so that's not too bad. Were you born and raised in Colorado, or did you go to school there? Where are you originally from?
Yeah. So I was born in Denver. Natives of Colorado these days are becoming more and more rare, because like you say, the word is out. It is a wonderful place to live, and more people have been moving here over the years. But I was born in Denver, grew up in Aurora, a suburb of Denver here.
Oh, yeah.
And I grew up doing, right there near Denver. I grew up doing a lot of the things that I write about now. You know, grew up mountain biking and fishing and hiking and camping, and kind of grew up in the Rockies and just fell in love with the outdoors. And then my father worked for the oil industry. So in high school, I actually moved to Texas. So kind of the exact opposite of Colorado in some respects. So I lived in West Texas and Midland for a while, and then also Houston. So kind of two extremes of Texas. And I enjoyed Texas. There's some fantastic people down there, very friendly, some great food. But when it came time for college, I wanted to get back to the mountains. And I specifically looked at my colleges kind of based on, honestly, like the best skiing.
Of course.
Kind of looking for great places to get outside. So came back to Denver. That kind of felt like home. attended the University of Denver and majored in journalism and English. I've always loved reading, and I've liked writing as well. And I thought that, you know, a natural way to kind of make a living at that was newspapers. So right out of school, went into working for a daily newspaper in Southern Colorado. And yeah, things kind of went from there. And over the years, just kind of continued writing. And I've been very fortunate. I have a lot of friends who you know, went to school for writing. And I'm one of the few who'm fortunate enough to still be able to do it. It's a hard industry sometimes to make a living at, but I really love writing, and I'm fortunate that I'm able to do it every day.
You know, I love that. And one of the things I find very interesting, and you hit this right in a bullseye, you know, timing and place are oftentimes very crucial to our success. I mean, you grew up in Colorado, you have access to all of this wonderful outdoor activity, and the fact that you were doing it all from the very early age, hiking, fishing, biking, skiing. And I imagine you were on ski patrol somewhere in one of those mountains. But what I love then is this kind of taking this love and beginning to discover ways to continue to make a living, because you're right. I mean, the journalism, the newspapers, it's really have gone through a lot of changes over the years. Mm-hmm. When you began to explore outside of journalism and to put your own shingle on the door as a freelance writer and, you know, starting this agency, had you begun that process while you were working, or did you basically say, you know, something, writing's on the wall, I'm going to leave or take a package and I'm going to go make this happen? How'd you do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, growing up and in school and college, there was never like a freelance writing class available to me. You know, it just was something that like wasn't really on my radar. I always felt like you had to get a job at a newspaper or at a magazine or writing books or something, kind of one of those avenues that you traditionally think of. And I'm really glad that I worked for newspapers as long as I did, because it did really hone my skills and it developed my writing skills. And I learned a ton. And then to kind of be able to flip and do the PR side, that kind of taught me a little bit about how to market myself. Like I was putting out press releases and I was pitching stories to writers and, kind of learning the ins and outs of how that worked from the PR side. But as I was doing it, you know, I was thinking, I was pitching stories to people who I didn't feel like were as a good a writer as I was. And I thought, you know, I could actually do this story better. So that's what I did. I started just doing it myself. And I went out on my own. And I fortunately, because of my background and my years in the newspaper and PR, I have a lot of contacts in the industry. I have a lot of people that I can reach out to and work with and know. And I know how to pitch a good story and how to write a good story, and kind of marrying those two together again with the abilities and the skills that I have with my ability to go skiing, to go biking, to do those things. It makes for sort of a unique niche and combination that I found that has been really helpful in kind of setting out on my own and starting my own company.
Very good. You know, I'm curious, as you we're describing this, you know, this transition. One thing that was coming to mind is, David, you need to write a course on how to become a freelance writer, how to promote yourself. And the reason I say this, I'm a career changer. Okay. I was in IT. I did that because it was like the last thing on the list, and I was offered a job. I hated it. I mean, there was aspects of it I liked, but at the end of the day, sure, that was totally not me. And so I now am a recovering IT business consultant. Okay. And so going into coaching, it was illogical for me. So I do career development coaching. However, no one ever told me when I was going through coach training and getting my master's, here's how you start and run a business. And so, uh-huh, I think, and I'm curious, had you ever thought about taking this background that you have and this passion for the outdoor space and the writing to teaching other people how to do this? I was just curious about that.
Yeah, you know, I really have. It's funny you mention that. You know, the Outdoor Writers Association is having their upcoming conference in Casper here this coming, I guess it's this year now.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there, by the way. I will be there.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing you. I actually submitted teaching a course, an idea along these lines in terms of like how to teach. And obviously, a lot of the folks there are already experts, but it, just in terms of like how to do a good pitch, you know, having been on both sides of the coin, having received hundreds of press releases as a reporter, and then also sending them out and writing them as PR professionals. So kind of, you know, having that dual insight into how to find that sweet spot for pitching stories and coming up with great story ideas there. So it is something that I've thought about, and I agree, like for a local college course, you know, or something, it would be ideal to have, in addition to, you know, your AP style and your, you know, all those things that are foundational, how to look outside the box, how to kind of consider other avenues such as freelance writing to, you know, consider and to follow. And like you say, there's so much that goes into that I think people just don't even consider. It's not even on the radar starting out. So that is a great idea and something that I have thought about, potentially may pursue in the future. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
We'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
As you then kind of transform your career into this freelance work, and you have all this background, again, the fishing, the skiing, etc. And by the way, I will say on your website, there's this wonderful shot of you holding, I'm thinking that's trout, big trout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's the big rainbow trout. Yeah.
All right. I love that. By the way, that's the banner image for our podcast. So I want that image, by the way. Normally I would go to the website, right click, save image as, but I think you've got that locked down. So that's the one we want for our banner. Yep. All right. And I want other pictures, sure. By the way, and we'll get to that. You're going to find, by the way, I'm a very opportunistic podcaster. I'll tell you what I want.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. So,
as you're developing now this career as a freelance writer and you've got these topics, was there any desire to niche down into, I mean, you could spend a lifetime talking about fishing and trout and fly fishing, spend a lifetime in skiing, mountain biking, et cetera, trail running.
Mm-hmm.
Had you kept it kind of broad? You have any thoughts on niching down further or focusing more on product? Where's your thoughts around, I mean, this very broad areas of expertise that you have, and how do you decide what you're going to write on and who, you know, or what's going on right now?
Yeah. You know, when I started my business, I sat down and tried to consider what I wanted to write about, you know, and I do have with my background, a wide range of different things that I can focus on for sure. And actually starting out, I wasn't even fully focused on just where I'm at now with kind of outdoor adventures and sports. I was even broader than that. So for me, this actually feels somewhat niched down to kind of just focus on the things in the outdoors that we've noted. But within that, I find that I kind of naturally will flow seasonally from one of those topics to the other. So in the winter, I find for instance, right now I'm working on a backcountry skiing story. So, and some more snowshoeing stories. So the fact that it's winter here in Colorado, we've got snow now, I kind of just by nature, the fishing stories tend to tail off a little bit. And I tend to focus more on those snow sports, you know, spring and summer, you know, maybe more fishing, more biking, some of those more summer centric stories I tend to focus on. So I do kind of like float in and out of niches a little bit, just based on seasonality and what is easier to write about at the time, I guess. You know, you can write about any of this year round, but obviously some of these sports are a little bit affected by the different seasons. So, and in terms of how I determine what story I want to write about or what I want to do at any given time, it's really, I try to think about like what I would want to read. So, you know, I like I noted earlier, I like to read and I read a lot. So as I read these different publications and authors that I admire and things of that nature, I try to like focus on what's missing or what's out there that I can fill that niche that others haven't written about. And that's what I try to go and do. I try and think about what would I want to be reading? And then that's the story that I'll pick. Or oftentimes what do I do that nobody else can do sometimes that I can write about for a publication. So, you know, we were talking earlier about how for newspapers and magazines, sometimes there's been some hard times and shortening of staff and hours and things of that nature. But I found that that actually creates an opportunity for freelancers because they're looking for more stories and they're looking for more content and ideas. And obviously, especially with the internet these days, there's no lack of opportunity for bylines. There's, you know, endless need for content. So it's just finding that right niche and that right story to fill at the right time. And like you said, you're good to go then.
Okay. What are some examples of your writing and your unique spin to it? Because I could go to a fishing magazine, Trout Unlimited, or a magazine, the journals. I go to Field and Stream. I can go to a hunting magazine and talk about the latest place to go hunting, how to find the perfect spot to go fishing, what's the latest technology in snowshoeing. As you begin to explore these topics, because they're ones you're interested in, I love the fact that you're kind of a seasonal guy. But once you get this inkling, here's an idea that I want to pitch. How is it that you're adding your spin so it's not just like everybody else?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it varies from story to story. I think that sometimes just my ability to do certain things really helps. So for instance, this weekend I'm working on, I mentioned that backcountry ski story. It's actually about a backcountry ski patrol. So rather than just write a story about this backcountry volunteer ski patrol that goes out and patrols this area, I'm actually going with them. So I have the ability to get out there with them, to follow them, to kind of do more of a slice of life, you know, and actually spend time on the mountain with them, getting photos, talking to them, kind of witnessing and experiencing what they experience. And that adds a whole deeper, richer level to the story than you might otherwise get with just a, you know, over the phone interview or even an in-person conversation. You know, kind of spending a day in their shoes sometimes really helps kind of add that extra layer. So something like that is often a way to kind of put my own spin on a story. Another example, I recently did a story for Gear Junkie on how to mountain bike some of the world's toughest trail solo. So I actually went out to Moab and rode the whole enchilada, which is one of the most famous. It's such a fun trail. It's amazing. Wow. But I rode this trail on my own. It's like a 20 plus mile trail through the desert, you know, just rode it solo. Fantastic day. And then I wrote a story about it, and I gave people the information on how they can get to this point if they want to do that themselves. You know, I think a lot of times, even for experienced mountain bikers, the concept of riding solo can be a little scary. So I was able to kind of give some tips, some tricks, some information on how to kind of like get over that hurdle and go do something like that yourself. So that teaching aspect or that narrative or kind of experiential aspect of the story is one way that I try to kind of put my own personal touch or flavor on it a little bit.
Okay. Very cool. I mean, getting on a bike and riding 20 miles, I can do that in a heartbeat. Getting on a mountain bike and riding out in the desert, I think that 20 miles is probably going to seem like more like 120 miles, but that's just,
yeah. Yeah.
So, I have to ask, there's a question I'm going to ask you. It's about where you live in your home, and it has to do with toys, because I just can imagine you've got a lot of toys, just given this full breadth of your interests. We'll get to that, but yeah. I'm curious with the product producers, you know, whether it's bikes and snowshoes, backpacks, you know, I have this backpack that actually fits me. I'm a big guy. You know, I probably could stand to lose about 50 pounds, but I'm still a big guy. And so there's backpacks I can't even put on because I can't get it around my waist. So I know there's producers out there that have, Gregory's the one that comes to mind. They have a backpack I can use, got the bladder, et cetera. Do you have product producers? And it really doesn't matter what sport it is, that come to you and say, hey, David, we've seen your work. We've read your work. We'd like for you to write an article for us about a particular item. Do you have folks like that coming to you?
Yeah, I do. One of the cool parts of my job is I am out in the field a lot testing gear. So I do have companies that will send me their products, will send me their gear to test out and to write a story about, to write a review about. I've been working with Gear Junkie a lot recently, and I really enjoy, like you say, you know, I'm a huge gearhead. I have a ton of toys, a ton of gear, way too much probably. But yeah, I will get sent products to take out and to test out and try and see how they work. And then I'll write a story about it and let readers know how it worked, you know, give them an honest assessment of what I think of the product and how it worked. Yeah.
Okay. When you produce this piece for the company, what else is included in this process in addition to just your words that you're providing to them?
Well, are you referring to the company or the publication?
To the publication of this piece. So again, I'm very much a visual guy. I love pictures. So not only do I want you breaking apart this product and here's all the features, functionality, here's how it's used, here's what it looks like, how it's used, here's other people using it, and here's, you know, things like that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I definitely put the product through its paces and we'll test it out. You know, for instance, I have been testing some tents for MSR. MSR has some new ultralight tents coming out for 2022. And I've been taking those out in the field and really putting them. I took one out a couple months ago, actually, in a snowstorm and tested it out and really put it to its limits. And when I do that, you know, I basically try to, again, try to get in the head of a reader. And since I am a reader in a lot of senses of these things, I know the details, I know the features, you know, like what, again, like with these like ultralight tents, like I personally am a ultralight backpacker, long distance backpacker. So I know what it takes and what that gear needs to be able to do for those readers on the trail, so that when they're sitting down and trying to decide between, you know, which piece of equipment do I want to purchase to take with me on my next trip, you know, they're able to have the insight and information to make the best choice. So yeah, that includes a lot of description, a lot of testing it out. And then, like you say, I do take my own photos. So I'll take out my Canon, my DSLR, and try to get some high quality shots in the product at a bunch of different angles and just test it out to let people get a good look at it and to have a better idea of what this product is that's coming out. Again, I think with my background, I not only write this, but again, I've read hundreds of gear reviews, so I know what goes into it, and I've used so much gear over the years that I know what works and what doesn't, and I have that expertise to provide those readers with that information, which is a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Okay. If someone were coming to you, and I'm thinking, and I'm not being opportunistic here, I could, but I'm not. If someone comes to you like me, I'm 60 years old. I do like to get out for hiking. I don't relish the idea of hiking over big rocks. Give me a nice trail that I don't mind a little bit of obstacle, because I want to stop and I want to enjoy the view, the moment, take pictures, wait, listen for birds, for animals. So I'm not out there to prove myself or to go beyond. I'm open to going beyond my comfort zone a little bit. But then you have somebody maybe who's a little bit more experienced, but they're not ready to go out on that 20-mile bike ride in Moab like you did. And then there's the world-class athlete. Okay. And I would, just getting to know you, I would say you're not competitive. Maybe you are. You're close. You're definitely more than that medium guy, you know, to kind of a, you've been there doing it in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Have you kind of helped those different classifications of athlete or, you know, weekend athlete prepare for these kinds of adventures?
Yeah, it depends on the audience, certainly, you know, depending on the publication, the audience, you know, if I'm doing a gear review for Gear Junkie, obviously the readers for that publication are going to be a little bit more outdoor savvy. They're probably pretty familiar with with gear and what they're looking for, you know that they're going to that publication and that site to get the nitty gritty details. And I can get a little bit more heady and technical with some of the language and whatnot that I write, for sure. But at the same time, you know, I write for Snowshoe Magazine, and sometimes you do, you know, kind of introduction type stories, or, you know, more basic 101 type things. So helping people kind of learn the ins and outs of snowshoeing or fishing or whatnot. I recently just did a article for the Fly Fishing Film Tour on the basics of how to start tying your own flies. So, you know, it's winter now, people are inside more. And that was a very basic, it wasn't super technical. It was just like, here's the basic materials you need, here's how to get started, here's some easy fly patterns to start with. So that was a fun one to write, but it certainly was geared towards more of the beginner and a lower barrier to entry for somebody to kind of figure it out. So yeah, I love writing stories for the entire spectrum, for somebody who's just getting into it and trying to figure out how to do a certain sport, to somebody who maybe has done it for years and it is, you know, you never stop learning, you know, even myself, I've been doing it for a while, but I'm always trying to learn and improve and get to that next level. So I think that there's certainly opportunities to write a wide spectrum of those type of stories, which is a lot of fun. I like that.
Okay. Where has the most, well, that's not the best way to start the question. In your experience, having been out in the outdoor adventure, are there some spaces, maybe it was Moab, that 20-mile ride, that you were like, wow, this, I can't believe I'm here. This is the most wonderful place. Do you have any experiences like that that just kind of blew you away?
Yeah. And that's the whole reason I kind of became a freelance writer and started doing this, is because I wanted more of those experiences. I wanted to get out of the 9-to-5 grind, work for the weekend, and, you know, be out doing that on a Wednesday, you know? So that's what I kind of look for, are those experiences. And off the top of my head, you know, I recently, just past summer, I took it was for a story I was working on about fly fishing, and I backpacked about 12 miles into the backcountry of Rocky Mountain National Park, you know, just pristine wilderness, beautiful area. I was fortunate enough to procure a backcountry site and went back there and camped a couple nights. And from my campsite, I would even go up higher. So I was at some really high alpine lakes fishing and hanging out. And there was one night where I just put the pole down, you know, stopped everything and just sat by the, you know, amazing high alpine lake, just kicking back and watching the sunset for a couple hours. And that's one of those moments that you just kind of look for and you never forget. It was just the gorgeous, you know, super quiet, super still summer evening, high up in the Rocky Mountains next to a glacier lake. It was gorgeous, and it's something I'll never forget. And that, you know, that I'm very fortunate that I'm able to kind of do that for a living now and get out and enjoy those experiences. That's certainly, for me, that's what it's all about, for sure.
Fantastic. Now, by the way, here's my opportunistic self showing up. If you happen to have a photo about that experience that can you like to share?
Yeah.
Love to have that for our show notes. And I was actually thinking of kind of ask you next is, are you more of a sunset kind of guy? Cause you, obviously the whiskey or the sunrise with a cup of coffee, for both.
Yeah. I love both. I recently outfitted my truck. Pandemic, I did a truck build on my Toyota Tacoma. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of like live in the back of my truck now if I need to. Yeah. And I love being out in the middle of nowhere and being kind of tucked into my truck bed and watching the sunrise. That's pretty amazing. And that's really fun. I did that in Moab each day. I would kind of like wake up with the sunrise over the red cliffs, and it was gorgeous. But I think if I had to choose two, I would probably say sunset, because I love, especially being in the mountains in Colorado, just watching the sunset to the west, you know, and seeing, you can get like purples, blues, oranges, everything. You know, they say God's a Bronco fan because the sunsets are, you know, blue and orange out here. So it's pretty spectacular. And it's something that it can be pretty breathtaking out here for sure. I love it.
All right. So you've got the sunset. Let's talk whiskey for a second. What's your preference around the whiskey?
So I'm a big Scotch fan. I went to Scotland and I did a tour and went to all the distilleries and tried everything. And I've always liked the Lagavulin. Lagavulin is probably okay. My favorite Scotch if I had to hand down choose something. But that being said, I also then went to Kentucky and toured all the distilleries in Kentucky. I've kind of seen both sides. And I love American bourbon. I love, you know, probably like Blanton would be my favorite, you know, sort of sipping whiskey here, you know. Right now, I'm drinking some Widow Jane. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Widow Jane, but it's out of New York. It's fantastic. It's a 10-year. It's like drinking a smoky fire in a glass. It's fantastic. So yeah, in these cold winter nights here in Colorado, I'll get a fire going in my fireplace and pour myself a nice dram and just kind of kick back. And it always helps you warm up for sure when it's a little bit cold out.
You know, you and I are going to do some damage probably with a bunch of others when we get to Casper, Wyoming later this year. And yeah, I have had Lagavulin, so that is a very fine whiskey. So
it's, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the toys. Now, I would imagine you're not the condo guy because you probably need a garage for all your outdoor gear. And what are some of the toys that are in that? And we're not going to tell people exactly where you live because we don't want any visitors, but what are some of the toys that are readily available to you?
I've got a ton of fly fishing poles, a lot of fly rods. I have my Specialized 29er stump jumper mountain bike is one of my prized possessions for sure. I have a ton of camping gear. I like to do long distance backpacking and stay out as long as I can. So I recently got the Big Agnes ultralight fly tent. UV. It's been fantastic. It weighs less than a pound. It's a huge game changer. That's been fantastic. I have tons of cooking gear and stoves and things of that nature. So I'm trying to think what else of note. It's mainly just a lot of backpacking, fishing and camping gear and bike gear and stuff. So yeah.
Okay. I can imagine there's maybe there isn't a significant other in your life saying, why do you have all this gear here? We don't have to go down that path. That we don't need to do that. As you look back in your career, David, any surprises? What you're doing now, it would be very easy to be envious because you're living the dream. I mean, you're doing what you love, writing. You love the outdoors and you've found a way to bring the two together. However, as you look back in your career, the trajectory, any surprises, anything you would tell your younger self?
Yeah. You know, I think the main thing would just be, you know, don't be afraid to take risks. You know, I'm here where I'm at because I wasn't afraid to kind of take a leap and kind of take the risk and go out on my own and try that. You know, I think it's very easy to try to follow the conventional, again, kind of 9-to-5 or those parameters that society and culture sets out and those jobs that are offered. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. But if you don't, I would say make your own way, you know, find out what you love and then go do that. You know, I did spend years in newspapers and doing PR. And while it was great, it wasn't this, you know, it wasn't the dream job, like you say. So I think when you do kind of throw caution to the wind and take that risk, you know, there's certainly, it's a risk reward situation. And I'm very fortunate that it's gone as well as it has thus far. But yeah, I would just say be willing to kind of to take the road less traveled sometimes, because oftentimes it's a really sweet trip and you get to see some pretty awesome stuff along the way for sure.
No doubt about that. Now, looking forward, I mean, you and I are hopefully going to see each other up at the OWAA's annual conference in Casper in May. And what are your perhaps future goals? I mean, you're now a member. I'm a new member as well. I get to podcast with a lot of really cool people doing a lot of real cool stuff. And I'm hoping that's going to continue and grow from there. What are your thoughts about joining this organization? Or actually a great question is, how did you find them? How did you discover OWAA?
Yeah, so exactly about a year ago, I went to the outdoor retailer show. I guess it was last summer. It was the summer show, OR, in the summer. And it was kind of like just the pandemic has still kind of put a damper on things. But I went down. It's unfortunate. It's in Denver. So I went down to Denver. It's not too far from me. And I actually met Ted there, the president of the OWA. And we sat down and had a conversation. I introduced myself and talked to him. And that's how I first initially kind of got introduced to the organization. And then coming out of the OR, I came home and did a little bit more research and talked to him on the phone and kind of followed through with it. And yeah, eventually decided it was a good opportunity for me. And became a member. And that was right before the conference in Vermont. So unfortunately, I was unable to attend that conference, but I'm looking forward to one up north in Casper here soon. So yeah, hoping to make it to that one. But yeah, that's how I initially kind of got introduced to the organization.
Very good. Very good. And by the way, just a little correction there, Chez is the executive director and the president, it's Christine Peterson. She's a real cool former journalist, just like yourself. How do you see taking this information, which you're going to learn through OWAA, perhaps this expertise you have with the product reviews and just writing features about experiences, where do you see going with this career of yours? How is it going to continue to evolve?
Yeah, I think I'd like to continue, obviously, writing, meeting more people, hopefully expanding some of my publications. I do have some stories in mind that I really would like to write that are a little bit bigger in nature and a little bit grandiose. So for instance, I really want to do a through hike of the Colorado Trail here in Colorado and actually write about that for a publication and do a kind of a more in-depth feature. And I think that would be awesome because I think the Colorado Trail is often overlooked. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people don't know how to like do that. So I can help kind of provide the information and resources on how to do a hike like that, a backpacking trip like that. So things like that, I think that there's still a lot left that I had plans. The pandemic actually kind of put a damper on this, but I had plans to go to Costa Rica here soon and hopefully do some fishing, maybe do some fishing stories out of there. So there's always another adventure. And if I can continue to write about it and people like to read it, then, you know, I'll keep doing it as long as it keeps rolling. So like I said, so far it's been a fun time. So I'm hoping to just kind of keep the momentum going and continue, writing about the things that I love that other people love as well.
And that is that's a career and a life well lived. And I think, as you had described it earlier, about people just, you know, throw caution to the wind, just do it. I mean, that's what it takes, is just explore, continue to grow, evolve, learn. And that's the best part about this journey that we're on. David, I know there was one other question. You know, you talked about, you know, for the individuals who want to get into the space, just do it, throw caution to the wind, do your homework. Any other insights mm-hmm. that you would want to share with our listeners about if they want to begin this path, like maybe not exactly what you did, but what further advice would you give to them so that they can continue to get comfortable living a little bit on the edge, taking those chances, leaning in?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, one piece of advice that I had when I was younger that always stuck with me, and after graduating school, I was considering going on and doing more college or more schooling, graduate school, something of that nature. And somebody once told me a byline is better than any class. And that's something that really stuck with me. I think that, you know, there's tons of careers out there and there's a lot of different ways to do it. But with writing, it's just doing it. You know, that's mm-hmm. how you get better, by writing, by getting published. Don't fear rejection. You know, for every, I'm sure, you know, every pitch that goes out, there's, you know, 10 that don't get right. accepted. So it's just persistence, it's believing in yourself, it's having the fortitude to keep going, even if things sometimes don't seem like they're going to pan out. You know, just keep writing. And again, if it's something you love and and you enjoy it, then that in and of itself sometimes is enough of a reward. So yeah, I would say just get out there and try to get those bylines. And that doesn't, I'm not advocating working for free. I know that there's some publications that are like, oh, we'll give you exposure. I am one of those writers. You have to pay us what we're worth. You have to pay, like with photography as well, you have to pay for our work. So I'm not saying, get out there and do it for free, but you know, get out there and get your work in front of people, get those bylines, start your own website, publish your work. And there's readers out there who will follow good writing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that too, is just don't let the no's get in the way and mm-hmm. just keep at it. And I think that's where like a community with like the OWAA getting used to them. I mean, this is where I think organizations like that are so integral to our successes, because you're around a lot of other people that perhaps they've done the things that you're thinking of doing. So there's a coaching mentoring opportunity there. There's also collaborative mm-hmm. opportunities, and that's how you grow. And you can't just sit in the comfort of your home hoping that things are going to happen. Right. So it's good networking. David, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. I hope you have been enjoying yourself. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. I'm going to really look forward to some good drinking when we get up to Casper later this year. If our listeners would like to learn more about you and your work, where are the best places for them to go?
Yeah. So my website is davidyoungcommunications.com. And that has all of my contact information. It has all of my portfolio, all my writing, all my information is on there. So davidyoungcommunications.com is certainly the best way to kind of check me out. And then I also am active on Twitter and LinkedIn. And we'll provide those links, like you said, and people can also connect with me there on those networks too. So yeah, those are the best ways to connect with me.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me today. Wonderful episode. And I'm like, okay, how do I get to Colorado? I mean, I could drive there, but
come on out.
So you just have to bear with me again. So I'm working up. I don't know if I'm ready for the back country, though, that, the sunset and these pristine glacial lakes sound very, very nice. Very nice. So you'll share some pictures, but hopefully it'll happen. Good. Definitely. Listen, stay on the line. We're going to do a quick close and you and I can have a final chat. Okay. All right. Okay, folks, what a wonderful episode. I don't know about you, but I'm like, I got to get out to Colorado. And I mean, the pleasure of meeting David through our membership in OWAA and just learning more about his work by visiting his website, davidyoungcommunications.com, and just really just, everything from, whatever sport. And I didn't really think about this at the time, but Colorado, it's almost like the perfect state. He probably knows this, like a best kept secret. You have all the seasons there. You have summer, winter, fall, spring, and in every season there's opportunity for sport. What doesn't matter what you're doing, and for folks like me, obviously an opportunity for photography, and really should be a spark for any of us to get out and explore. So whether you're in Colorado or some other state, find out what's available to you to get out and enjoy yourself. And he also, provided a lot of great insights for individuals who, perhaps they're interested in writing and they want to begin to get into this outdoor space, or they have a passion for, a subject matter that's, special to them. There's opportunities if you go out there and look. And so don't, start Google searching, talk to people who are doing the things you love to do. And as David had said, follow your passion. And if it seems like there's a little bit of a roadblock, okay, it's a roadblock. Figure out how to get around it and keep moving forward. Keep leaning in. Ask good questions. And you never know where you're going to end up. And what we saw from David today is, he took this love of writing, PR, and especially this love of just the outdoors, and has turned this into a very successful career. And it's going to be exciting to see where he goes as well. So again, do check out David and his work on davidyoungcommunications.com. It's the website. We'll provide the backlinks, and we'll also provide the backlinks to his LinkedIn and Twitter social sites as well. As for us, you can find us on outdooradventureseries.com. We now have our podcasting platforms. They're getting set up as we speak. We are on Buzzsprout, which then connects to all the major podcasting platforms. Right now, you can find us on Amazon Music and Spotify. We'll be up on Google and on Apple in a not too distant future. So definitely there's going to be ways to find us. We'll have a Outdoor Adventure Series Facebook page as well as a LinkedIn page as well. Folks, so we hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Go out there, have a phenomenal day. David and I are recording this episode on a weekend or Friday, so we're going to go enjoy our weekends, and I hope you do the same. Be safe. Wear your mask if it makes sense. Practice social distancing if it makes sense. Take care of yourself and the community, and we will see you on a future episode of the Outdoor Adventure Series podcast. Take care now.